All right, if you'll find your place in Genesis chapter 35 tonight, Genesis chapter 35. We're traveling through this book together. We've come to this chapter tonight, Genesis chapter 35. Genesis 35 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "And God said unto Jacob, Arise, go up to Bethel, and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God, that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. Then Jacob said unto his household, and to all that were with him, Put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean and change your garments. Let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand, all their earrings which were in their ears, and Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. And they journeyed. The terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob." Notice the phrase in verse 5, "and they journeyed." Tonight I preach to you on this subject, the journey back to Bethel. The journey back to Bethel. Let's pray together. We share this thought. Father, help us, I pray. And my heart is calmed tonight. I'm so aware right now at this present time of what a tremendous responsibility you have placed in my hands. Help me to relay this message. Speak to our hearts. Challenge us, convict us, change us, comfort us. Do what only you can do. And may your will be done in Jesus' name. Amen. As we approach our study of this chapter, chapter 35, we're reminded of the horrific events that we preached on Sunday night that had just taken place in chapter 34. In that chapter, we saw the awful effects of sin. And may I remind you from chapter 34 that sin promises pleasure but always delivers pain. And this whole scene was encouraged by Jacob, if you remember, not being in the will of God with his family. In other words, he had stopped short of Bethel. God had told him, get back to Bethel, and he was, even though he was going in that direction, if you will, he stopped short, and he pitched his tent in right there before a city in the land of Shechem. And men need to understand, as we approach chapter 35, just going back and tapping chapter 34, the importance, men, you need to consider the importance of pitching your tent in the center of God's will. If you pitch your tent outside of the will of God, you are begging for trouble. And you're asking for a demonic attack upon your family. And that being the case, the opening verse of our text, we've just come off of this horrific event. And would you agree with me that maybe now Jacob's ready to listen? Maybe now Jacob's ready to perk up and pay attention. I mean, it's interesting to me that when you come to chapter 35, years have passed since his wrestling match with Jesus Christ. I mean, you'd think that that wrestling match changed his life, and it did for a moment, but he's still not completely right with God. Amazing to think about that. And this being the case, as we approach this chapter, we see God speaking to Jacob, and he gives him a direct command. Here's what God said. He said, "Arise, go up to Bethel, and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God." Now, friends, Bethel was the place where Jacob first met God. Do you remember that place in your life? The place where God first revealed himself to you. Bethel is the place where God gave Jacob precious promises. Bethel is the place where Jacob enjoyed communion with the God of heaven. However, at this point in his life, Jacob had helped ruin his daughter's life. And at this time, he had helped create sons who were guilty of gross murder. And if you remember the story, Jacob had an idolatrous wife by the name of Rachel, who stole her own father's false idols. It's easy to see that Jacob is out of touch with God. It's easy to see that when you approach chapter 35. He's not living a life of dedication. This is hard to imagine, especially after his wrestling experience with the Lord several years before. Here's what I'm saying to you.
When you come to chapter 35 and see where his life is, his daughter has been violated right here. His sons are murderers. His wife is an idolater. You just look at him and say, somewhere, something went wrong. Somewhere, something went wrong with his walk with the Lord. And now that his life is seemingly falling apart, the Lord once again came to Jacob and speaks to him. May I say something to you? That's grace. And that is mercy. The Lord told Jacob to get back to Bethel. He's saying, boy, get back to the place where you first met me. Get back to the place where I had sweet communion with you. Get back to the place of my promises. And may I say to you tonight that God often sends disobedient children back to the place where they started on the wrong path. When Jacob heard this command, he immediately went into action. And we see him and all that were with him made this journey back to Bethel. Now it's this journey in verses 1 down to verse number 15 that I'm preaching on tonight. It's this journey back to Bethel that I want us to see. It's a journey back to God. It's a journey back to the promises of God, back to sweet communion with God. May I say this to you? Every child of God finds themselves every now and then dwelling in Shechem. And every child of God must make a journey often back to Bethel, back to the place where God is speaking to you, back to the place where you're enjoying the fellowship with Jesus Christ. Back to the place where you have his sweet presence and the peace that passeth understanding. Back to the place where God is real to you. Some of you tonight need to make this same journey. And tonight I want to give you three things about this journey. Number one, we notice the preparation for the journey. We see this in verses 1 to 4. I've already read it here. But in order for them to get back to Bethel, back to the place where they could meet with God again, they must make necessary preparations. Now in these preparations, we see this group of people preparing for fellowship with the Lord. By the way, we all need fresh fellowship with Jesus Christ. We all need to be in touch with heaven. We all need to be in a place where God is speaking to us and we're drawing strength from Him and enjoying sweet communion with Him. But may I submit to you tonight that if you are going to enjoy your Bethel, that these same three preparations must be in your life. Three things they did to prepare themselves for the journey back to Bethel. Number one, under this, they put away strange gods. Notice this now. Look at verse number two. And then Jacob said unto his household, after God appeared to him, Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, notice this, put away the strange gods that are among you. Verse number four, and they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand and all their earrings which were in their ears, and Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. You know, it's an upsetting thing to see how Jacob's household, his household, and the Bible says all that were with him, all of them, including those in his own household, had been defiled by idols. My friends, even though Jacob knew the true God, he allowed his family to have false gods. However, when God spoke to Jacob, while his life was in shambles, his life is falling apart, he is an idolater. Even if he isn't personally, he's allowing his family to be. He's got idols in his home, in his household, and among his servants. And while his life is falling apart, God speaks to him. And the word of God initiated a revival in this dear man's heart. And may I tell you that when you find idols in your own heart, one thing you need to do is saturate yourself in the word of God. And God's word will start to initiate a burning fire in your heart about that shouldn't be there, and that shouldn't be there, and that's wrong there, and that needs to go, and that needs to take place. I'm telling you tonight that the word of God started a revival in Jacob's heart here, to the point that he took the lead in his family. And he got up and he demanded the false idols to be put away. Now I'm going to tell you something. Something's happening in his life. These people gave Jacob all their strange gods. And the Bible says they gave him all of their earrings. Now here's the point. Back in this day, wearing an earring like this was an outward identification that you were worshiping idols. In other words, when they saw earrings, when they saw them back in this day, in this culture, in this custom, my understanding of what I studied is when they wore these earrings, they were identifying themselves that they were worshiping a false god. And he's saying this, you need to get rid of everything that associates you with idols. You will never in your life make it back to Bethel if there's an idol sitting on your heart's throne. It will not happen. And I'm telling you here, is this thing on? I'll stay right here. I don't have any blessing with anything I use around this place. You know what I mean? That's on. We're in business. We need to understand tonight. Can everybody hear me okay? That's a ridiculous question, right? We need to understand tonight that we will never journey back to Bethel while having strange gods in our midst. Now, I'm going to tell you something tonight. A god is anything that takes the place of God. Let me say this to you. They come in all packages. Somebody says, I'm not an idolater. I don't have a statue that I bow down to. May I remind you that idols come in many packages. Money can become an idol in your life. Fame can become an idol in your life. Entertainment can become an idol in your life. Sports can become an idol in your life. You can become an idol in your life. I'm telling you, one man put it this way, Jehovah God does not tolerate divided devotion. He does not tolerate it. And when we find ourselves with an idol sitting on our heart's throne, let us hear the word of God. Arise and go up to Bethel. Get rid of the idols and bury them out of sight. And may I tell you tonight that if you make it to Bethel, idols must be done away with. The Bible says in 1 John 5:21, little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen, the Bible says. 1 Corinthians 10:14, wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. We're noticing the journey back to Bethel, the journey back to sweet communion with God, the journey back to the place where God is fellowshipping with us and we're hearing His promises and we're drawing strength from Him. Our heart's right with Him. Journey back to Bethel, the preparations for it. Put away strange gods. Number two, be clean. Be clean. Notice verse number two. Put away the strange gods that are among you and be clean. Jacob told these people to also make sure that their body was clean in this journey. See, here's what they were doing. They were preparing to go into the presence of God. They were getting to the place where they knew God would meet them there. So they were to make sure that their bodies were clean. They were to clean up for God, friends. That's what they were to do. They were to make sure that their bodies were clean to approach the Lord God of heaven. They were to be purged from filth and purify their hearts and hands. What this is a picture of here, it's a picture of coming into the presence of God clean. The dirt and the filth of this world must be washed off before you can have your Bethel experience. You know, the Bible speaks about this in Psalm 66:18. Here's what it said. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. The Bible says in Psalm 24:3-4, who shall ascend into the hill of God? Or who shall stand in His holy place? Listen to this. Who shall ascend into the hill of God? And who shall stand in His holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. May I say to you that salvation is free. Amen. Fellowship is not. Communion with God is not.
You must pay the price to be able to live in Bethel. You must prepare yourself to go into the presence of God. And the way you do that is search your own heart. Do an own inventory of yourself. Is God really God in my life? Or is something else taking His place? Am I clean? Or spiritually, am I dirty? Number three, they were to change their garments. This is the same verse. Put away the strange gods that are among you. Be clean and change your garments. They were to make sure that they were not going to meet God without having a clean body and fresh clothes. One man put it this way: how we dress for a meeting says plenty about how important we think the meeting is. When a person recognizes, get this now, when a person recognizes the importance of the person he is meeting, he will manifest their importance in his approach to that meeting. In other words, get this, friends, it would not be good to approach a meeting with a dignitary, sweaty and in unclean clothes, if at all possible. How much more should the people of God prepare their heart for a meeting with God by dressing the part? What I'm talking to you about, I'm saying this: He is God. He is worthy of our best, and we need to approach Bethel with holiness. This is what the preparation's all about. In all of these actions, these here, in other words, they're just preparing for Bethel. They haven't started their journey yet. God came up. His life is falling apart. His daughter has been violated. His sons are murderers. His wife is an idolater. He has pitched his tent outside of Bethel, and God in His grace comes to him because now he knows more than likely here, He'll listen to me now. Get up and get back to Bethel. Get back to the place where you met me first. Get back to the place where I was speaking to you and you saw me. Get back to the place of fellowship and communion and peace and promises. Get back to the will of God. Jacob says, I'm going. But before I ever step foot on my journey, there's some things I must get right. I am not ready for that meeting with God. I must prepare for that meeting with God. And here's what I'm going to do as the man of my house. Everybody who's under my authority, listen up. Get rid of your idols. Put an end to it. Bring them to me. We'll bury them. Get them out of sight. Make sure your body's clean. Make sure that you're dressing the part. Let's get ready for our journey back to Bethel. Preparation for it. Number two, we notice not only the preparation for the journey. By the way, the bottom line in all of this, some teach that what he was trying to get across in this preparation is that they were repenting of how dirty they were. They were getting their hearts right. Yes, by putting away the idols, they were spiritually getting clean. By cleaning their bodies and changing their clothes, they were basically saying, we're not worthy the way we are to come into the presence of God. They were repenting. The bottom line is God didn't need to change. They did. Did you hear what I just said? God didn't have to change, but they must change if they were going to get from Shechem back to Bethel. They were to prepare for it by being pure and holy. Pure and holy. This appearance of the Lord to Jacob caused a cleansing of the whole family and of the whole camp. Preparations for the journey. Number two, let's not only know the preparations for it, but secondly, the protection in it. The protection in the journey. Notice what happened in verse number 5. And they journeyed. Now notice this. And the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. So Jacob came to Luz, which is in the land of Canaan, that is Bethel, he and all the people that were with him. Do you see what I just read? In other words, when they made the decision, we're getting right with God. God stepped in, encamped around them, and protected them. Now, this is a powerful thought here, friends. Let me show you what I'm talking about. It has been said that Bethel, now get this, it's been said that Bethel was 1,000 feet in elevation from Shechem. 1,000 feet above Shechem in elevation. Notice how God told him, go up to Bethel. Go up, go up, go up, go up to Bethel. God's commands always leads to higher ground, friends. This journey would take time and take effort to get from Shechem to Bethel. God had told him to make this journey, and Jacob led his family to the point of decision. Some of the greatest words in this chapter, in my opinion, is found in verse number 5, where it says, and they journeyed. Let me tell you why those are great words, because that's what God told them to do. Get back to Bethel. And they are obeying God. This means they were living a life of obedience to the Lord, and they were on their way back to Bethel, the place of God's presence and promises. Now I'm going somewhere, stay with me here. Notice a very encouraging thing about this particular journey. It had God's protection on it. The Bible says the terror of God was upon the cities, to the point that they did not go after Jacob and his sons. Question, why would they want to? Maybe because what them young boys or elder boys did in chapter 34? I mean, what a murderous event that took place. Don't you think the world would want to retaliate against something like that? Sure. You know what this means, though? That when his people wanted to get right with him, he would not allow those people to retaliate. He, in chapter 34, was disappointed. In chapter 35, he's in grace, asking them to come back to Bethel. They are obeying him. They're on their journey. And God says, okay, you're right with me. You're trying to get right with me. I'll make sure the world leaves you alone. Now, I'm going to tell you something here. Jacob and his family were journeying in the will of God. And God made sure they were protected to obey his word. Verse 6 tells us that Jacob and all the people with him made it to Bethel. You know what that means? God didn't lose one of them. They all made it. Now, let me just tell you the major point I'm trying to get across here. We're talking about the journey back to Bethel, the preparations for it. You must prepare. The protection in it. If you go back to Bethel, God protects you in that journey. This goes to show, get this now, this goes to show that the safest place in all the world is the will of God. What I'm telling you, one person put it this way, the way of duty is the way of safety. We need to understand that submission to God brings safety from God. And let me say this to you, that does not mean that troubles never come your way. That does not mean that bad things do not happen to good people. God has never promised us exemption. Never. Never. But he has promised us to help us on the journey. And I'm telling you that the safest place in all the world is your Bethel. Where's your Bethel, friends? Where's the place where God is in your life? Where's the will of God for you? I'm telling you that there and on the way there, the terror of God is encamping round about you, protected. It's interesting that it's been put it this way. While there was sin in Jacob's house, he was afraid of his neighbors. But now that the strange gods were put away, his neighbors were afraid of him. Amen. Get right with God, and God will take care of you. Amen. This also goes to show, now get this, that there is no enemy who can keep the honest heart from getting right with God. Because really, this story is about somebody getting right with God. And no devil in hell can keep you from getting right with God. If God works in your heart, you want to put away the idols, you want to be clean, you want to change your garments, and your heart wants to be right with God, he'll make sure you have every opportunity to get your heart right with God. The Bible says in Psalm 145:18, the Lord is nigh to them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. The Bible says in Psalm 34:7, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Number one, the preparations for this journey. They must prepare for it. Number two, the protection in this journey. God came round about them and made sure that when they were getting right with him, that there was no enemy that was going to take them out. Number three, let's notice the products of this journey. There came the time when they got back to Bethel. They're now there. And may I tell you that once they got there, we see a list of products that resulted. What happened at Bethel? What took place there? Let me give you several of them. If you're taking notes, let me give you several of them. Product number one. By the way, was it God's will for Jacob to get back to Bethel? Yes. And Bethel is a place of communion with God, a place of fellowship with God, a place where God is freely talking to you and communing with you, and there's nothing between your soul and the Savior. That's Bethel, the will of God. He's on his way, God protects him. But when he finally makes it there, there's great results. Let me give you a number of them. Number one. God received worship. God received worship. Notice verse number 7. Notice what happened. And he built an altar there and called the place El Bethel, because there God appeared to him when he fled from the face of his brother. See, Jacob and those with him finally made the journey all the way to Bethel. When he got there, Jacob built an altar, just like God told him. And he called this altar El Bethel, which means the God of Bethel. That's what it means. Somebody put it this way, the blessing of worship is not in seeing the place of worship, but in seeing the person worshiped. In other words, some people worship a place. They did, oh, it's so beautiful, it's so grand, oh, it's just a wonderful place, and they bow down to the place. You listening to me? I'm not bowing down to an altar. I'm not bowing down to this building. I'm bowing down to the God of the altar, the God of the building. Here's what I'm saying to you. The altar speaks of worship. The altar speaks of obedience, gratitude, and sacrifice. May I tell you that God received all of that from Jacob at this altar? When Jacob made the altar, he received his obedience, he received his gratitude, his sacrifice, his worship. Here's what I'm saying to you. All that God deserved, he received at Bethel. What am I saying? I'm saying this, our great God is worthy to be praised. He's worthy of honor. He's worthy of worship. And he's worthy of adoration. He is good to us. I heard a song recently that said, "Is God good?" And it goes on to say, "No, God is great." I like that. What I'm saying to you is this, God is good. He's great. He's worthy to be worshiped. Let me tell you where he receives it. At Bethel. When his children's hearts are right with him, he receives worship that he so desires and deserves. Here's what I'm saying. You cannot truly give worship to God in Shechem. Now he can still get worship there if he so desires, but he cannot receive the worship that he deserves from you if you're outside of the will of God for your life. Everybody understand what I'm telling you here? The first product we see is God received worship. Psalm 29:2, giving the Lord glory, the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord, get this, in the beauty of holiness. It didn't just say worship the Lord, it said worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Number one, the first product, God received worship. Number two, God revisited Jacob. We see this in verse number 9. Notice it. And God appeared unto Jacob. What's that next word? Again. When he came out of Padanaram and blessed him. See, once Jacob and his family got to Bethel, God appeared to him again when he came out of Padanaram. This shows the mercy of God. May I remind you, folks, listen to me, that Jacob did not earn this appearance of the Lord. But God, get this, if you don't get anything else tonight, get this, God is the God of again. He's the God of second chances. We see it in Jonah's life. When Jonah rebelled and went to Tarshish, yet the Bible says when he repented, the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. We see it in Samuel's life when he was calling the young boy. And the Bible says in 1 Samuel 3, 6 and 8 that God called him again. We see it in Elijah's life when he ran from Jezebel and was camping out under a juniper tree and his heart wasn't right with God. He was filled with depression. He wanted to be killed, yet an angel came and ministered to him again the second time. I'm telling you tonight that Bethel is the place where God visits again. It's a place where God will show himself again. We serve a merciful God, friends. We really, really do. May I say this to you? We all need God to appear to us. I need him to appear in my heart and my soul. I need the presence of God in my life. You know where you'll find it? At Bethel. You say, oh, it's been such a long time. I've not felt his presence in forever. Get back to Bethel and God will appear again. He revisited Jacob. Number three, he rewarded Jacob. We see this in verse number 9, the last phrase. Notice it, and blessed him. You know what that word blessed there means? It means he congratulated him. Power Bible CD, Tuesday night class. It means he congratulated him. It means he saluted him. You know what it is to salute soldiers? You know what this verse means here? You know what that word blessed means? It means God came down and looked at him and said, congratulations. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. That's good stuff right there, friends. You may tell you what that is when God salutes you? That's a reward, what that is. I don't know about you, but I want God saluting me. I want God saying congratulations on doing the right thing. You know what that means? That means God's touch was on his life. We'll have that in Bethel. Number four. Hey, he received worship. He revisited Jacob. He rewarded Jacob. Number four, he reminded Jacob. Verse number 10. Look at it. God said unto him, thy name is Jacob. Thy name shall not be called anymore Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name. And he called his name Israel. In this verse, we see God reminding Jacob of something. That happened years ago. It's interesting that when you come here, years fast forward from when the angel, the Lord, told him and renamed him Israel, it's still right here in chapter 35, he's still going by his old name. He is still Jacob. Could it be that he was still living more like Jacob than Israel? I don't know. But when he got back to Bethel, the Lord reminded him of his new name. The Lord reminded him that he's not the same. He's no longer Jacob. Hey, he's Jacob in Shechem. When he gets back to Bethel, he's Israel. What am I saying? When you get back into sweet fellowship with the Lord, you know what he does? He graciously reminds you of who you are in his eyes. God was coming to him and say, hey, listen, I know you're Jacob. But to me, you're not that anymore. You're Israel. You're a prince with power with me. You see what God is doing? When a child of God gets into sweet fellowship with him, he strengthens them. He says, you're no longer what you used to be. You're now what I've made you to be. You get it? He reminded him. Number five, this may be the most important thing he did. He revealed more of himself to Jacob. He revealed more of himself to Jacob.
Look at verse number 11. And God said unto him, I am God Almighty. God told Jacob when he got back to Bethel, he said, here's who I am. I am God Almighty. This is the name El Shaddai. You know what that name means? It means the breast of God. It means the nourisher. It means the strength giver. It means the satisfier. One of the most cherished names of God held by Bible students everywhere is this name right here, God Almighty, El Shaddai, the strength giver, the all-sufficient God, the all-bountiful God, the God who is enough. That's what that name means. You know what the point here is? This is the first time Jacob heard that name. He didn't know God by that name until this time. God had never revealed himself like this to Jacob till he got back to Bethel. When he got back to Bethel, somebody put it this way, when Jacob obeyed God and went to the house of God where he heard the word of God declared, he soon learned more about God. You know the great thing about Bethel? God just gives you more about who he is. He proves himself over and over to you again. He shows himself that he really is enough. Hey, I'm not only God, I'm God Almighty. Jacob learned this at Bethel. This is one of the greatest things about being in Bethel. It's one of the worst things about being outside of Bethel. Is when you're outside of Bethel, you're not going to learn more about God. You may learn more about sin. Learn more about the consequences of sin. But when you get back to Bethel, God is there. And God starts pouring over your soul. Let me give you a final thing here. Final thing is this. God reaffirmed his promises to Jacob at Bethel. These are all products of just going back to Bethel. Hey, what are these products again? Here's the products. God received worship that he deserves. He revisited Jacob. He rewarded Jacob with his blessing. He reminded Jacob of his new name. He revealed more of himself to Jacob, and then he reaffirmed his promises that he gave Jacob. We see this in verses 11 and 12. Notice it. Be fruitful, multiply. A nation, a company of nations shall be of thee. Kings shall come out of thy loins. And the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac to thee, I will give it. And to thy seed after thee, I will give the land. In these verses, we see God simply ratifying his promises that he had already given Jacob earlier in his life. The Lord did not change his word. He simply reaffirmed it to Jacob. See, this is one thing God does for those who are abiding at Bethel. He encourages their hearts with his promises that are stated in his word. May I say, no wonder in verses 14 and 15, there's no wonder that Jacob made sure he set up a memorial to this occasion. We see him taking a pillar and setting it up and pouring a drink offering on it. According to my study, this was Jacob's way of remembering this meeting with God and showing his devotion to God as a result of this meeting, showing his gratitude to God and dedication to his God. Jacob was letting God know, I'll never be the same after today. This has changed my life. And I'm going to make sure I never forget it. May I say this in conclusion? Years spent away from Bethel are wasted years. Bethel is the place of God's blessing. Bethel is the place of sweet communion and fellowship with the Lord. Bethel is the place of God's provision and promises. Let us do a spiritual inventory of our own lives and make sure we're living in Bethel and not some other part outside of the will of God. Would you identify with me with this statement? I need God's power. I need God's strength. I need God's ability. I need God's blessing. I need God speaking to me. I find all of that in Bethel. Get back to Bethel and stay there until the Lord calls you home. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Shall we? Father, we love you. Bless this night. Help us, I pray. May the will of God be done. Speak to our hearts. Your heads are bowed. Your eyes are closed. They're beginning to play through as soon as they get prepared here. I have two basic questions tonight. And that is this. Question number one. Do you know the God of Bethel? Are you in his family?
Are you a child of God? Has there been a time in your life where you've trusted Christ and Christ alone? If your answer is no to that or you're not sure, come let us take a Bible, share with you the gospel. Question number two tonight. If you're a child of God, I'm speaking to you. Here's my question. Are you in Bethel? Are you enjoying the sweet communion with God? Are you in the place where God can bless? God can speak? Are you in the place where God is revealing more about Himself to you? Have you be honest tonight and say, Jody, I'm going to be honest. Now, all of us would have to raise our hand at different times of our life. And maybe that time just happens to be now for you. But you're not alone in this. Have you tonight say, Jody, if I'm honest with God, I'm concerned tonight that I am not in Bethel. It may be a heart attitude. It may be something completely different. But you say, Jody, I know that I am not enjoying the fellowship with God that is possible. I know I'm not enjoying that. Be honest to the Lord. Would you raise your hand in the air with mine? You say, Jody, that's me. I'm going to be honest. I don't believe I'm enjoying that sweet fellowship. If you raise your hand, God bless you. And I remind you that if you raise your hand tonight, you're not alone. There are times I'd have to raise my hand to that same question. But if God has dealt with you tonight, come. Talk to Him about it. He's a merciful God. Wouldn't you like to hear God speaking to you again? Again. It's possible. But you must make preparations. Get rid of idols. Have a cleanness about you and change garments. God will protect you on your journey. And if you get there, God has great results and rewards for you. Let's all stand together. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, take this thought and use it, I pray, please. In Jesus' name. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Brother Gary's singing. If God is speaking to you as He sings, would you leave your place and come?
Nothing between my soul and the Savior, not of this world's delusive dream. I have renounced all sinful pleasure. Jesus is mine, there's nothing between.
Hey, sing it as a prayer. Would you do that?
Nothing between my soul and the Savior, so that His blessed face may be seen. Nothing preventing the least of His favor. Keep the way clear, let nothing between.
We're playing through softly. We're dealing here, but I'm going to call the church into session just a moment. If you're standing, you can look this way. We're just about through. I'm going to ask Brother Mark.